The lesson where I need that fix on the other branch too becomes one command. It's 3:14 p.m. on a Wednesday. You just merged a fix to main, a one-line patch that closes a payment flow bug your customers have been hitting. PR approved, merged, deployed. You feel good. Then your phone buzzes. It's your team lead. Hey, that fix needs to go on to the V1.4 release branch too. We're still supporting V1.4 for the enterprise customers who haven't upgraded yet. Can you backport it? What do you do? You could re-implement the fix by hand on the V1.4 release branch. You could merge main into that release branch, but that drags in 50 other commits you don't want on the release branch. You could create a new branch off the V1.4 release branch and try to remember exactly what you changed. Or you could run one command. Where the hash shown is the SHA-A of that one fix commit on main. Cherrypick takes that single commit's diff and applies it to your current branch as a new commit. The fix lands on the V1.4 release branch. You push. You're done bulged. L11 is about two tools that live next to each other in your toolbox. Cherrypick, surgically copy a single commit from one branch to another, and stash, set aside in-progress work without committing. Different problems, same flavor. Both are about moving small units of change around between branches and contexts. Both feel advanced the first time you reach for them and routine by the 10th time. This matters because every working developer hits cherry-pick situations, backporting hotfixes to old releases, forwarding a useful commit from an experimental branch you're about to abandon, pulling one commit from a teammate's branch before their PR merges. And stash is the daily safety net for, wait, I'm on the wrong branch, and the boss just paged me about a fire, and I want to try this experiment without committing yet. Without them, you reach for clumsier alternatives that work, but waste time and leave messier history. What cherrypick is, mechanically. Take a commit on branch A. Its diff says change line 47 from X to Y in some source file. Cherrypick on branch B replays that diff on top of branch B's current state, producing a new commit on B with the same author info and message, but a different SHA. The key word is new commit. Cherrypick does not move the original commit. It does not make the original commit appear on the new branch. It creates a fresh commit whose content is the same diff. The original keeps living on its original branch. The new one lives on your current branch. Mental model. Cherrypick is git diff plus git apply plus git commit rolled into one command. The result is two commits with the same change but different SHAs. This is why Cherrypick gets the duplicate reputation. If both branches eventually merge into the same place, you'll have two commits with the same change. Most of the time, this is fine. The merge will collapse them. Occasionally, it causes conflicts, which is why some teams have rules about when to cherry pick versus when to merge. Creating a cherry pick. The basic form. You first switch to the branch where you want the commit to land. Then you cherry pick the SHA-A of the source commit. Git replays the diff and creates a new commit. The new commit's message defaults to the original commit's message. Cherry pick multiple commits. Applies them in order, creating three new commits on the current branch. Cherrypick a range. Applies all commits from, but not including, the first commit up to and including the last. The exclusive start form is a common source of off by one confusion. If you want the first commit included, append a caret to it. The caret means the parent of, so the range starts just before that commit. Cherrypick without committing immediately. Applies the diff to your working tree and index, but does not create the commit. Useful when you want to tweak the change before committing, or combine it with other work. Cherrypick with traceability. The traceability flag adds a line to the new commit message, noting that it was cherrypicked from the original commit. This is gold for debugging 6 months later when someone asks, "Where did this commit come from?" Some teams require the traceability flag on all cherry picks for exactly this reason. Handling conflicts during a cherry pick. cherry-pick conflicts work exactly like merge conflicts from L7. The diff from the source commit didn't apply cleanly to the target branch because the surrounding code differs. Git stops mid-cherry-pick with conflict markers in the affected files. You see three choices: resolve the conflict and continue. Skip this commit and continue with the next one in the range. Only relevant if you were cherry-picking multiple commits and want to skip the conflicting one. Abort and go back throws away the cherry-pick attempt entirely. Working tree returns to where it was before. Useful when you realize the conflict is too gnarly and you'd rather rethink the approach. When cherry-pick is the right tool. Cherry-pick is right when hotfix backport. Fix is on main. You need it on the V1.4 release branch too. Cherry pick the fix commit onto the release branch. Forward port from a release branch. A fix went to the V1.4 release branch first, the LTS branch. It also needs to be on main going forward. Cherry pick it forward. Pulling one commit from an experimental branch. You wrote a useful refactor on an experimental branch you're now abandoning. Cherry pick just that commit onto main before deleting the branch. Picking from another developer's branch. Their PR is still in review, but you need one specific commit now. Cherry pick it onto your branch with their permission and the traceability flag. Cherry pick is the wrong tool when you want all of branch X on branch Y. That's a merge. Not many cherry picks. Cherry picking each commit one by one is slower and creates a confusing history. The commits depend on each other in subtle ways. Cherry picking just one of three related commits might leave you with code that doesn't compile because it references things in the other two. Both branches will eventually merge. If A and B will merge anyway, cherry picking creates duplicate commits that the merge will then have to reconcile. Just wait for the merge. The general rule: cherry pick when you need a specific commit on a different branch, and the two branches will not be merged in the near future. Typical of release branches diverging from main. What stash is, mechanically? Stash takes everything in your working tree and index that's different from head, packages it as a special commit-like object, pushes it onto a stack, and resets your working tree to clean, matching head. Later, you can pop the stash off the stack and your changes come back. Three reasons to reach for stash. You're on the wrong branch. You started editing files, then realized you're on main and should be on a feature branch. Stash, switch branches, pop. Your changes appear on the right branch. You need to switch contexts urgently. Your boss pings about a production fire. You're mid-feature, nothing's ready to commit. Stash, switch to a hotfix branch, fix the fire, push, switch back, pop, resume. You want to test something quickly. You've got changes in your working tree. You want to pull the latest from remote to see if something they did breaks your work. Stash, pull, test, pop. Stash is the safety net for, I have uncommitted work and need to do something else with this checkout right now. Stash basics, stash everything. Tracked, modified files. Working tree resets to clean. Stash goes on the stack as the most recent stash. Stash with a descriptive message, recommended. The message shows in GAE stash list so you can identify stashes later. Without messages, you end up with auto-generated names like YP on main, followed by a commit hash that don't tell you anything. Include untracked files. By default, stash only catches files Git already knows about. Untracked files, new files you haven't added yet, get left in your working tree. The include untracked flag scoops them up too. Use this when you've created new files that you want stashed with the rest. Include ignored files too. The all flag includes ignored files. Rarely needed, but exists. List your stashes. Output looks like the branch shown is the branch you were on when you stashed. The number in each stash reference is the stack position. 0 is most recent. Show a stash's contents, diff. Without the patch flag, you get a summary, which files changed, how many lines. With the patch flag, the full diff, useful when you're not sure if a stash is still relevant, restoring a stash. Two main commands, pop and apply, plus a third for special cases, branch. Pop the most recent stash and remove it from the stack. Restores the most recent stash to your working tree and deletes it from the stack. The default. Use this when you're confident the restore will work cleanly. Apply a stash without removing it. Useful when you want to try restoring and not lose the stash if something goes wrong. After confirming, you can drop the most recent stash to remove it. Drop a stash explicitly. Removes a specific stash from the stack without applying it. Useful when you have a stale stash you don't need anymore. Drop all stashes. Nuclear. Use with care. Stashes don't come back. They're gone. Restoring a stash to a new branch, the underused power tool. What if you stashed on main, then main advanced, you pulled, teammates merged work, and now your stash conflicts with main's new state? You don't want to deal with the conflicts on main. You want to restore the stash exactly as it was, isolated. This creates a new branch starting from the commit you were on when you stashed, applies the stash to it, and drops the stash from the stack. You get a clean branch with your stashed work exactly as it was, no conflicts with main's drift. This is the I stashed 3 weeks ago and now main has moved on recovery move. Underused, very effective. Handling stash conflicts. When you pop or apply a stash and the working tree has diverged, you can get conflicts. They look like merge conflicts. Resolve them the same way, L7 process. Then, if you used git stash pop and conflicts occurred, the stash is not automatically removed from the stack, JIT is being conservative. After resolving, drop it manually. If you'd rather start over, you can reset. Or if you're really stuck and want to abandon both the stash and the apply attempt. When stash is the wrong tool. Stash is convenient. It's also addictive. Some teams forbid stashing because it leads to stash piles that grow indefinitely. You stash, forget, stash again. 3 months later, you have 9 stashes and no idea what's in any of them. Lost work. A git stash drop or git stash clear is essentially deletion. If you stashed something important and dropped it, recovery is hard, possible via the reflog, but requires comfort with the lost and found mode of git fsck. Hiding work. Stash isn't committed. It doesn't push. If your laptop dies with stashed work on it, the work is gone. Teammates can't see it. CI can't run on it. The cleaner alternative. Commit work in progress to a branch. Make a weep commit, push it. Switch contexts, come back, reset to the previous commit, keeping the YEEP work in the working tree, continue. YEEP commits are visible, recoverable, and shareable. Stash is private, ephemeral, and easy to lose. The rule of thumb, stash for short context switches, minutes to a few hours. For longer pauses or anything you'd be sad to lose, commit it. A common pattern, the boss just paged me. You're mid-feature on a feature branch named feature/dashboard. 2 files modified, nothing committed yet. Your team lead pings. Production is down. A null pointer in the auth flow. Can you fix it? You're back where you were. 2 files still modified. Filter logic still half done. Production is fixed. Total elapsed, maybe 45 minutes. Your dashboard work was never lost, never committed, never visible to teammates, and is exactly where you left it. This is stash at its best. A common pattern, cherry pick a hotfix to a release branch. You merged a fix to main. The fix needs to also land on the V1.4 release branch for the customers still on that release. The fix is now on both branches. Different commit shays, same change. The release branch commits message includes the traceability line so anyone debugging later can find the original. Worked example 1. Backporting a critical fix to 2 LTS branches. Setup. You're maintaining a library with 3 active versions. Main, 3Talks development, the V2.4 release branch, LTS, 24-month support, and the V1.8 release branch, LTS, last 6 months of support. a security bug is found that affects all three. Step 1. Fix on main first. You write the fix as you normally would. Branch off main, write the patch, write a regression test, open a PR, get review, merge. After merge, you note the shate A. The fix is the commit FE5D23A. Step 2, backport to V2.4. It applies cleanly. You run the test suite locally, it passes. You push. Open a PR against the V2.4 release branch. Get review. A peer who knows the V2.4 code base. Merge. Step 3, backport to V1.8. This time, conflict. V1.8's deserializer was implemented differently. The fix as written doesn't apply. You don't panic. You read the conflict markers, understand what the fix is doing conceptually, and reapply it by hand using V1.8 structure. You add a comment explaining the original fix, Shay, so future debuggers can find the connection. Tests pass. You commit, push, PR, review, merge. Three branches now patched. Cut releases on each. This is the canonical multi-release backport workflow. Library maintainers do this monthly. Application teams running multiple production versions do this whenever a critical fix needs to ride into older versions. Worked example 2. Stash to swap branches mid-thought. Setup. You're on a feature branch named feature/payment receipts. You've been editing the receipt template and the email service file. Nothing committed. You realize you also wanted to check something on main. There was a discussion in chat about how a related class is structured, and you want to look at the current implementation before continuing. You don't want to commit half-finished work. You also don't want to lose what you have. You're back. Two files modified, exactly as before. The 30-second detour to read main cost, nothing. Without stash, you'd have had to commit the half-finished work and either uncommit it later or live with the messy history, or use a separate work tree. More on that in L13. Worked example 3, cherry pick from an abandoned experiment. Setup. You spent 2 days on an experimental branch named experiment/new cache layer. You wrote 5 commits. You explored an idea and decided the overall architecture isn't right. The branch is going to be deleted. But one of the 5 commits was a useful refactor to the existing cache code. It cleaned up a long-standing wart. You want to keep just that commit. The refactor lands on main as a clean standalone commit, with traceability back to the experiment branch. You can now safely delete the experiment branch. The branch is gone. The good commit is preserved. 2 days of work that you mostly discarded just paid back the one useful piece of it. Worked, example 4. Stash branch as a get me out of trouble move. Setup. 3 weeks ago, you stashed work on main. It was a feature you started, got distracted from, never came back to. Today, you want to finish it. Meanwhile, main has moved on. 40 commits have landed. You suspect the stash won't pop cleanly. As expected, conflict. The files you edited have been refactored. Resolving inside main would be a mess. Better approach. Bail out of the pop and use stash branch. Wait, pop conflicts mean the stash is not automatically dropped. Let's redo. The stash branch command creates a new branch starting from the commit you were on when you stashed 3 weeks ago, applies the stash there, and drops it. You now have a clean branch with your work in its original context. You can rebase or merge from main at your own pace. A note for experienced developers. If you're coming from Mercurial, hggraft is the equivalent of git cherry pick. Same concept, copy a commits diff onto your current branch, same conflict handling pattern. The hgshelv extension is the equivalent of git stash. The mental model transfers directly. If you're coming from SVN, there is no SVN equivalent of cherry pick. SVN's merge arrange is the closest, and it's a much heavier operation. SVN users coming to Git often discover cherry pick and immediately fall in love with it for the precision. Stash also has no SVN equivalent. SVN users either committed half-finished work to a branch or used patches. save the diff to a patch file, then revert, then apply it later. If you're coming from Perforce, shelving in P4 is the close equivalent of Git stash, but P4 shelves live on the server, visible to others, recoverable across machines. Git stashes are local only. If you want Git stashes to behave like P4 shelves, the answer is don't stash, commit to a branch, and push. The general principle, cherry pick is unique to Git's snapshot model in how easy it is. Stash is convenient but should be treated as ephemeral, not as a substitute for committing. A useful frame for managers and technical product managers. When your engineers talk about backporting fixes, they're talking about cherry pick, almost always. Here's what's useful to know. Backports take real time. Cherry picks that apply cleanly take 5 minutes. Cherry picks that conflict can take hours. When estimating, we'll backport the security fix to V1.8 and V2.4. Budget for the possibility of significant rework on the older branch. Backports need their own QA. A fix that passed tests on main might not behave identically on the V1.8 release branch because the surrounding code differs. Each backport needs its own validation pass. Backport policies vary. Some teams backport every bug fix to every supported release. Some backport only security fixes. Some backport only critical fixes with explicit customer impact. The policy choice trades support burden against customer trust. A clear written policy prevents per-fix debates. Cherry pick traceability matters for audit. Use the traceability flag or a project convention that links new to original commits. So when an auditor asks, "How did this fix get to the V1.8 release?" the answer is in the commit message. Stash never appears in remote history. If an engineer says, "I stashed it," that work exists only on their laptop. For high-value work in progress, multi-day projects, things being handed off to another engineer, encourage commits to a feature branch instead. Stash is fine for "I'll come back in 20 minutes. For TPM specifically, when a high-priority backport needs to land on multiple release branches, the cherry-pick pattern is your friend. The work is broken into N parallel work items, one per release branch. Each one is small and self-contained. Each can be reviewed independently. Each is tractable to schedule and track. This is cleaner than backport sprint framing, where one ticket covers all branches and progress is opaque. A foreshadowing note for phase 4. In phase 4, L13 to L16, we'll see why cherry pick is the canonical way to move commits between parallel agents working in separate work trees. Each agent commits to its own branch. The integration step often involves cherry picking specific commits between branches before the final merge. Stash, by contrast, isn't great for agents. Their work should be committed to a branch so the lead and other agents can see it. The asymmetry, humans stash often, agents stash rarely, is one of the subtle workflow differences between solo human work and multi-agent fleets. Concrete scenarios across team scales. Startup, three-person team, single product. Stash is used constantly, a few times per day per developer. The small team, fast context switching environment is where stash shines. Cherry pick is rare because there's usually one branch, main, that everyone targets. No release branches yet, no backport situations. Typical stash usage. PM just pinged me about the demo bug, let me stash and switch to the demo branch real quick. When a startup hits its first big customer, often around Series A or first enterprise sale, suddenly they have a stable release, the customer is on, and a development tip everyone else uses. That's when cherry pick enters the workflow as backport tool. Often a culture shock. Wait, we have to maintain two branches now? Mid-size company, 50-person engineering team. Both tools used heavily, but for different reasons. Stash is daily driver for context switches, review request, hotfix, lunch. Cherry pick is monthly or weekly for backports, typically a release branch for the current quarter's release, plus 1-2 older branches still in support. cherry-pick traceability with the traceability flag is usually a team convention or required by code review. Backports have their own PR templates that reference the original fix. A common pattern at this size, a designated release engineer or rotating role handles all backports for the current sprint. Centralizes the cherry-pick judgment calls. Open source project with LTM releases. Cherry-pick is the lifeblood of LTS maintenance. The project's maintainer team triages every fix that lands on main and decides which LTS branches it goes to. Bots sometimes help. A label on the PR triggers an automated cherry-pick attempt. If it applies cleanly, the bot opens a PR on the LTS branch. If it conflicts, the bot pings a maintainer. Stash is mostly individual contributor convenience, not project-level workflow. Documentation for backport policy is critical. We backport security fixes to all LTS branches. Critical bug fixes to LTS branches still in active support, no new features. Without a written policy, every backport is a debate. Multi-agent team, 6 agents working in parallel. Cherry-pick is the canonical inter-agent transport mechanism. Agent A commits a useful base refactor on its branch. Agent B realizes their feature would benefit from that refactor. Lead cherry-picks Agent A's refactor commit onto Agent B's branch, or asks Agent B to do it. Stash is essentially unused by agents. Agents commit small, often, to their own branches. Their work is always recoverable, always visible to the lead, always pushable to remote. The small commits often discipline replaces the need for stash entirely. Humans on a multi-agent team still stash for their own context switches, but inter-agent work moves via cherry pick, branch merge, or work tree sharing, L13. The stay calm psychology for cherry pick and stash. Both tools feel advanced the first time. They aren't. They're each one command, plus some flag options for common cases. The thing to internalize, both are reversible. Git cherry pick with abort undoes a cherry pick mid-conflict. Git stash drop removes a stash without applying it. A git reset back one commit undoes a cherry pick that already committed. Nothing about either command is destructive in a way that can't be recovered. The reflog has your back for 90 days. The thing to not internalize, stash is not a backup. Stash is a short-term holding place. Don't put work on the stash and walk away for 2 weeks. Don't run git stash clear casually. You might lose work you needed. For longer-term safety, commit, even WIP commits, to a branch and push. The thing to not do, cherry-pick the same commit twice onto the same branch. You'll get duplicate commits with different SHAs. The duplicates won't break anything immediately, but will confuse anyone reading history later. If you accidentally double cherry-picked, the fix is a hard reset back one commit to drop the second copy. What you can do now. You can backport a hot fix from main to a release branch using git cherry-pick with the traceability flag and the commits SHA, and recognize when conflicts need conceptual reapplication rather than line-by-line resolution. Stash in progress work to handle an urgent context switch, then restore it cleanly with git stash pop. Choose between git stash pop, git stash apply, and git stash branch based on whether you want the stash gone after restore and whether the working tree has diverged. Recognize when cherry pick is the right tool, specific commit, divergent branches, hotfix backport, versus when a merge would be cleaner. All of branch X needs to go to branch Y. Recognize when stash is the right tool, short-term context switch, versus when a WEP commit would be safer, longer pause, multi-day work, anything you'd be sad to lose. Cherry-pick a useful commit from an abandoned experimental branch before deleting it. What's next in phase 3? L12, rebase, deeper, takes the rebase concept from earlier lessons and digs into the production patterns. Interactive rebase for history, cleanup, fix up, and squash for collapsing related commits. The difference between rebasing local commits, fine, encouraged, and rebasing published commits, dangerous, usually wrong. L12 closes phase 3. Then phase 4, L13, L16, introduces multi-agent territory, work trees, integration patterns for parallel agents, AI-authored commits, and the future of GIT in an AI collaborative world. Voice anchor, carried from L1 to L10. Git stores snapshots. Every other command is just navigating those snapshots. Cherrypick takes the snapshot at commit X, computes its diff against its parent, and applies that diff as a new snapshot on top of your current branch. Stash takes the difference between your current working tree and head, packages it as a stashed snapshot, and resets the working tree to head. Pop applies the stash diff back onto whatever head is now. Both are just snapshot manipulation. Once you see the snapshot model, neither command is mysterious.